Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Cider Shed podcast. My name's Matthew Weir. I'm joined by Kerry. I've just noticed her username on the screen is Vino.
Well, I change it each week according to mood.
What was it last week? It was Cheesy Wotsit, wasn't it?
Yeah, and prior to that it was Frazzle, I think.
Yeah, when we did the midweek special.
Yeah, it's Vino today. It's Friday. We're doing a proper Friday one. End of a hard week.
It has been a hard week, hasn't it?
Do you mean Archers wise or?
Well, you were having a rough time earlier in the week with
yes,
with some certain utility folk.
I was fighting octopus, and I won. I bloody won as well. The bastard.
So you're a bit like Godzilla, like Ben.
Yes. Yeah. Godzilla dies, doesn't it?
Well, Godzilla is always battling, in the old movies, he's always battling these other entities that, like, are giant or the other crazy animal that comes from the sea or comes from the sky. So, I mean, he's neutral, isn't he, Godzilla?
Okay.
I mean, occasionally he gets into a bit of a piss and he comes up and destroys Tokyo. But generally, you know, there's that moment where, like, halfway through one of the Godzilla movies, they're all like, oh, we're doing okay against him, and then he starts breathing fire.
Well, that was me against Octopus. They kept thinking that they sort of like biffed me away, and I was like, no.
They've got 8 tentacles to biff you with as well.
Yeah. They bloody suddenly said that I owed them over £4,000. And then in mid-fight, they upped it to over £5,000. And then after me fighting them, tooth and nail, via email and Twitter, they then admitted that actually I owed £9.84.
You are joking.
I laugh now, but like having 2 days of an energy company properly thinking they're right and saying, no, it's because of this. And I tell you, the reasons that they were telling me were absolutely laughable. And I picked every little bit apart and I made a spreadsheet and everything. God, they picked the wrong person, honestly. But I did think, I felt like I was battling, you know, like raging against the machine or against the man. I was thinking, God, if some old dear had got that bill, they'd probably bloody pay it, wouldn't they? Because they wouldn't want to get into trouble. It made me bloody angry.
Scammers have such a success rate because they target old people, don't they?
Oh, God, it's heartbreaking.
By the way, we should say other f***ing terrible energy suppliers are available.
They offered me, get this, for compensation, for like torture for 48 hours, £30.
I thought you were going to say a toaster.
I have rejected their offer and I've gone back asking for more and I've yet to hear back from them. So they're making me sweat.
Okay, well, that's probably because you've got the electric heating on up too high, Kerry.
Oh, yeah, that's why I owe £4,000.
Don't admit it on air, you twat.
Yeah, that was part of my week, bastards. Honestly. Ooh, I love a bit of a fight, though.
I was intrigued by the whole mention of Godzilla this week because Pip likened Ben to Godzilla. Do you remember the cartoon Godzilla in the 70s?
No. When I think of Godzilla, I think of film, not cartoon. It's a Japanese thing, isn't it, Godzilla?
Yes, but there was a cartoon which I think of might have been a collaboration between Japan and America, or maybe they took it and dubbed it into English, where it was a bunch of kind of research scientists stroke detective stroke crime fighters that lived on a boat in what I presume was New York. And whenever it was like Scooby-Doo, but whenever the problem got too difficult for them, they just pushed a red button and Godzilla came out of the sea and helped them solve it.
Oh, we could all do with one of them.
Do you remember
we?
This?
I don't.
And they, you know, the way Scooby-Doo added Scrappy-Doo in later episodes?
Yes.
Well, Godzilla added Godzuki, which was like a playful little kid version of it. But as a kid, I remember used to sit there on the sofa going, how on earth did these bunch of guys on a boat, I remember one of them had an afro, so that kind of places it in time for you.
Yeah.
How did they strike up a deal with Godzilla whereby they can push a button?
Yeah.
Like, have they got photos of him with like King Kong's missus or something? What is going on here?
No, I do not remember that at all. I wonder if any of it's available on YouTube or something.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'll look for it. And if it is, I'll put in the links. Let's take an ad break. And just so you know, we've got some very special cheese-based ads this week.
Great. Grated cheese.
Cordwell Cream has been produced by the Sparrow family of Forsett Magner for over 1,000 generations. An honest, likable, and wholesome cheese. Cordwell Cream has been described as like eating cheese in the pub with your mates. A witty and down-to-earth cheese. Probably the funniest Borsetshire-based cheese available. Cordwell Cream would never rig a cheese-judging competition, praise the Daily Mail, or falsely inflate its sales figures in an attempt to deceive the cheese-eating public. Cordwell Cream, probably not recommended for the maiden aunt. Also, we don't have a stupid fucking viewing window.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Pitt, yeah. Last week I made the case for Pitt. Wasn't that convincing, and Kerry made the case for the prosecution.
Yeah.
And crucifixion of Pip, wasn't it? I can't remember. And
hopefully
we lost it. So I would have to say Pip was pretty diabolical this week.
Well, no, she was particularly bad, wasn't she? I liked how she how she wanted to wear a massive coat whilst roller skating because she was so bad and thought she'd fall over all the time. Like Arsene Wenger coat. Oh, and also I loved how the week began pretty much with Pip talking about how Toby's holiday activities for Rosie were going to a water park and going to a posh Cornish holiday camp place on the beach. And her alternative was nothing, by the sound of it, because the camping had gone wrong.
Ruth said the camping went pear-shaped, and Pip said, yeah, it really did. Yeah.
Pair of tits. Yeah, so Ruth.
That was a mild cheddar moment.
It was. Pair of tits. Ruth had to come up with an activity for Rosie, didn't she? This new roller skating rink that's just opened outside Borchester or something. And then Pip was like, oh, I can't go. I'm not very good at that, expecting Ruth to sort of do it all or something. And Ruth then said she'd come with her. And then Ruth invited Stella. And I started thinking, God, is it Ruth who's got this massive crush on Stella? After all, she keeps inviting her everywhere.
Well, it is going to be awkward, isn't it? I think when this finally comes out, or it'll go completely the other way.
Mm.
And Ruth will be absolutely fine with it and happy that Pip's with someone that she likes.
Yeah.
From Ruth's perspective, I mean.
Yes.
And Pip is going to be the one who's going to be weird about it, which she is at the moment as well.
Although you can tell she does like her, can't you? Because she grilled Ruth about, because Ruth had suggested to Stella at the shop that she goes and sees the Italian woman. And when Pip heard that, she went, why was that? Is she still seeing her then? Are they a thing? So she's twitching a bit, isn't she?
Yeah, she's jealous.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought one of the real alarm bells for Pip is that Stella's looking for an upgrade because apparently she was looking at the dog notice board.
Yeah, is that Ambridge's version of Tinder? Where you go to the village shop and look on that notice board for your next dog.
What did you make of the night out in Borchester Lottie and Ben?
Is that where they were? I didn't twig where they were, but they had mocktails, which put me off listening. And they did sort of go, let's have a toast to the most boring trio in the world or something, didn't they? Why were they all on mocktails?
I presume because they were all driving back to their respective babysitters. I don't know what Ben's excuse is.
No.
unless Ben was driving. But I think, you know, the rest of them were doing it out of sympathy. I guess Pip said to Lottie that Ben went out in Felpersham with Freddie and that had been too much for him. So maybe Ben's just taking it easy.
Oh, true. Yeah, yeah. I mean, not to throw scorn on people who don't drink booze or anything, but they were so looking forward to this evening out, weren't they? Oh, I did like it when Lottie went, oh, move, I've got to hide. I don't want that bloke over there to see me. Pip was like, oh, I thought you liked him. He was hot. And she went, oh, yeah, but I found out now that he's in another relationship. And I thought it was going to be David who walked in. And Pip turned around and go, f***ing hell, that's my dad. But no, instead, Pip sort of went, oh, yeah, he's hot. I thought, oh, it's not David then.
It could have been actually worse if she'd gone, he is hot. Actually, that's my dad, Lottie.
Yes, in his leather jacket over there.
Lottie said to Pip, I don't do complicated. Well, you're out with Pip for the night.
They were trying to home in on, you know, people's love interest at this point in time. And Ben admitted that a carer had asked him out. And I was thinking, what do you mean out into the garden in a sort of bath chair?
I thought it might have been Sykes who you asked him out. We were worried that Ben might have taken his residence to the club night with Freddie and that Sykes he would have been doing the worm on the dance floor.
Yes.
So his way of dealing with being asked out is to pretend he hadn't heard it. How does that happen?
That's really funny, isn't it? You just sort of, someone's right next to you and you're just sort of looking in the other direction, like whistling and looking at a wall over there.
Do you want to f**k? I've got a sheepdog.
Who said that? I mean, God, you can't do that. You can't pretend someone isn't speaking to you.
Interesting that Lottie was talking about the fact that she couldn't go and talk to this guy because the sexual tension would be too much and she almost wouldn't be able to control herself. And this was at the same time as Pip sitting there thinking, Stella.
You could hear her fanny throbbing, couldn't you, through the airwaves.
Yeah. So they get home and David's given his toy farm to Rosie. They're back at Rickyard. Yeah. And Ben decides to stage dive into it.
Upon sight. Pretty much. That scene was very poor, wasn't it? They were like, oh, is that Dad's really precious farm over there? I can't believe he's lent it to Rosie to play with. And then just f***ing stamped on it.
Yeah, I like the way David was having none of it, was he? He was like, it's definitely Rosie. Rosie jumped on it, didn't she? Just tell me, Ben. It was Rosie.
I know she's only five, but...
There's kind of film noir lamps in his face. Just tell me. Yeah. It was Rosie, Ben.
I like
she was the one. She jumped.
Mini Alistair has no arms. I was like, how is he going to tend to the animals?
It's going to be a lot more work for Denise.
Yeah. I don't know who Mini Hector was.
Hector was the bull.
Oh, right, okay. Another monoped.
Well, he wouldn't be a monoped, would he? Because he's a bull. He'd be a triped. Or a tripod.
Okay.
I liked the way that they ran through the casualties there, wasn't it? Like, Dave went, Mini Hector lost a leg. Mini Alistair, no arms. I mean, I was actually laughing out loud at that moment.
I liked when David burst into the room and went, what the hell is going on? And Ben was like surrounded by glue.
I mean, what is Ben these days? What 21, is Ben? 22? What is Ben?
What is Ben? Lady, don't hurt me. I don't know. I'm crap at ages of all my friends, let alone people on the Archers.
Well, I think he's around early 20s.
Well, he's about to go to do the uni thing, isn't he?
Well, he had a break, didn't he?
Again, yeah. I liked that as well, where he went, I'm really sort of looking forward to... I'm a bit trepidatious about getting back in the rhythm of university. And then he just listed things about university. Lectures, assignments, placements, stairs, doors, pens, teachers.
Didn't David suggest he goes to prison?
Did he?
Yeah, he said mental health, prison.
Yes. Yeah, because he's nervous about the type of placement he's going to get, isn't he?
If you're recovering from a kind of a nervous breakdown, the best thing you could do is go into prison, isn't it?
But he seemed to think that that would be interesting, because when David said, oh, which are the ones that you're not so keen on, he couldn't Bliss Denny, could he?
No. I mean, just to circle back to the roller disco night, people have been speculating about how old, and I think even we did, how old is Stella?
Yeah.
She said they used to go to roller discos on the weekend, and it was playing Take That, Lisa Stansfield, and when George Michael's Faith would come on. Mm. Okay, Lisa Stansfield, late 80s, sneaking into the 90s. George Michael's Faith came out in like 87, I think. Take That didn't have a single out until 91, 92. So either they don't know, they've confused their eras here, or I'd say Stella is meant to be slightly younger than me.
Hey, Matthew, did you know that people can play music from the past?
Cidershed, breaking news.
Is that right?
So she might have been doing that skating like 5 years ago, but that's the music that they used to play there.
Was she going to teenage roller discos 5 years ago? She's too young for Pip then. But they are just trying to place her at a certain point in time, weren't they? But it didn't quite tie in.
Yeah, people on Twitter did notice that and were going, hang on a minute. And she also made a comment about Bonnie Langford.
That was 2 weeks ago.
To do with her tap. Yeah, so people are sort of trying to like what she knows about Bonnie Langford and Lisa Stansfield. You know, is she sort of like 60 or something?
No, she's my age. She's my age bracket. That's what they're trying to say, I think. Okay. Possibly slightly younger. Mm. The Godzilla era.
All right, yes. She probably watched that cartoon then.
Pip really threw her toys out of her pram, didn't she? And did that thing that you would normally do when you're about 17, when you want to be... You don't want to, but you end up being very awkward in front of the person you snogged. And then instead of just dealing with it, you end up being really shitty. Except in this case, she's at a roller disco with her mum and her daughter's having a great time with the woman she snogged.
Also, she doesn't get out much with Rosie. And the one time she does, she acts like an absolute arse. So Ruth had to give her a telling off. Didn't she? At least look a bit like you're enjoying yourself in front of Rosie. People on Twitter were also pointing out that they're getting a bit sick and tired of Stella being really great at everything she does.
She should team up with Leonard.
Yeah. Who might be the one to fix the farm as well, might he? Do you reckon he'll have it good as new in a gym?
We said about getting Tony and Leonard on it. Mm. I can imagine, you know, David gets the farm back and he's like, Tony was like, yeah, I just made some changes. I've completely destroyed all of the farmland and put train lines through it. Hope that's okay, David. Sorry, Hector couldn't get out of the way of the 1213 to Felpersham. He's dead.
I thought you were going to mention your favourite train again, Matthew.
The Earl of St. Germans.
Here comes the Earl of St. Germans. Oh no, look out. Oh dear.
Hooray! That should have its own jingle as well. By the time we've finished doing this in a few years, it will just be nothing but jingles. We won't have to sing.
Yeah, we'll just start. There'll be jingles for the jingles.
Just like Hitler nappies, Earl of St. Germans, we was alive! That chat. That'll fill half an hour.
We don't need to do any work anymore. If we're talking about placing Stella's age, Ruth left us no doubt because she said she fancied herself as the next Jane Torvill. But why did she always eat a Solero to warm up? I don't understand.
Now, did she say that, Matthew? The Bolero?
Oh, sorry, I misheard.
I actually didn't hear her say anything about this Jane Torvill.
She said, I always used to listen to the Bolero to get in the zone.
The Bolero. And,
there was that great moment as well. Pip said, I can't believe how rubbish I am. And Ruth said, I'm nowhere near as good as Stella. I thought Pip was going to say, yeah, that's why she snogged me, Mum.
I don't know what the next step is going to be with these two. What must Stella think? Maybe the more that Stella sees of Pip's weird behaviour, she'll just go, f*** this. I'll go back to the dog board.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that Stella's that bothered about it. I think Pip's more bothered than Stella, and that might end up being the issue. Lottie's going to try and double date, isn't she? And it's going to be very awkward. Although I did think there might have been a little bit of a spark between Lottie and Ben.
That's a good shout. But also, I've just realised, you know, the Toby lovely holiday to the Cornish camp park place? That's in a couple of weeks. So Pip's going to be Rosie free for a patch of time and can just go rampant with Stella.
Maybe they'll check into the B&B.
Well, Hannah will be living there soon, won't she?
No, apparently not.
Oh, did she decide against?
And Ruth decided against it tonight.
She said something like, the B&B will have to go on the back burner. And I was like, what with all your other burnt cooking stuff that's piling up?
I mean, at some point, someone has to say, surely they're getting a fair wedge for this B&B. So they're making more money than they would off a tenant. Mm. And then they said that it might affect Ben's mental health if Hannah was living there. Right, there's an argument for that.
Oh, did they? Missed that. Totally missed that.
Yeah, she said that to Tracy tonight, that it might just be too much for Ben to have another person around the house. I mean, it is strange that Pip said, oh, I'll do it. I'll look after everything. And the very next episode, Ruth's going, like, it's in the bin. Because imagine Pip on customer service.
Imagine her greeting you, the welcome person. And also, I thought Pip has no time to spend on anything. I'm so exhausted. How would she fit the B&B thing in?
That was the other argument that Ruth made. Pip's got no time. She's just saying she'll do it to help Ben out.
Look, I didn't listen to tonight. So I was tweeting along. If you tweet along, you listen to about 10% of it, I would say, because you're too busy typing.
Kirsty and Helen just went for a Chinese.
I did hear a funny man in a car park shouting. I remember him.
Before we get to him, let's talk about Grey Gable shite.
Yes. Now, would you think that Ardil ringing Oliver would say to Oliver, the owners have given me the go-ahead for the launch party? Would he say to Oliver, the owners?
No, he would say
Jeff and Barbara or whatever.
Yeah, Matt Crawford and Hazel Woolley have given me the okay.
Rob Titchener has said it's fine to have the launch party.
Yeah, the ghost of Bert Fry has said it's fucking a-okay. Let's go.
Celia Sparrow says she can't wait for the launch party.
Joe Grundy said, let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. Tracy has said it's fine. To go ahead. That little win on the scratch card a couple of years ago. Yeah, it's just like bollocks, isn't it? Really. It's going to be a black tie affair. The opening is in October. I loved how Oliver, having sacked everybody, is now going, oh, hello. You know, I sacked you a little while. Would you kindly do it again? The job that I sacked you from and haven't paid you for a year? And everyone's going, no, thanks.
He said to Tracy, like, the welcome roles, people skills. She was like, that's what I was good at. And I was going, yes, and shagging in the bedrooms.
He did say it was my greatest regret, didn't he? I think he meant, like, the selling of it, but also the sacking element.
But there was that moment where he said, I wouldn't let that happen again. And Tracy went, well, with respect, Oliver, like, you don't own the place anymore, so.
Oh, do I know that? And she's quite happy at the Bull. It suits her work-life balance. They're nice to work for, you know, sorted. She's quite happy. I liked that she rejected that notion. And also, Linda rejected the offer of running the event. You know, the launch event, didn't she?
We had the hilarious mix-up.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Between Adil, Tracy, Oliver and Linda, mm-hmm. where he was describing Linda as challenging and unmanageable. And Tracy thought that was about the role. And then she went to confront. I mean, what's happened to Adil? Because about a week ago, he was like, you don't ask, Oliver. No, you don't tell. You ask. He was really hard, wasn't he? And now he's like, okay, if you want to give them the job, then, oh, quick hide, there's Linda coming.
Yeah, definitely. And like Ian sort of bowled in going, oh, hello. Hello.
What is that?
Here's, hello there. Now, how's about you? How's about you? Here's my signed contract.
Where is your Derry Wogan?
But he did, didn't he? He just marched in and went, here's my signed contract. And I was just like, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
And Oliver then went, hello. Oh, great. Isn't it wonderful? I had a bit of a rush of blood to the head and acted on the spur of the moment. And I'm sure, surely Ardil would go, what on earth have you done? Like, this isn't how things should be happening at all.
Well, the fact that it's all interim, isn't it? I think is just about let him get away with it.
Oh, is he an interim?
Yeah.
Ian Terim.
Ian Terim. That's his surname. Trim.
Trim.
He's from County Trim.
I thought that's why I was doing the accent.
He's from Derry, isn't he?
Is that near Antrim?
We're getting into the Irish county jokes. I can't go down this road, Kerry.
Oh, okay.
It was an awfully good joke, Kerry.
Yeah, what has happened? And actually, where, more to the point, where has Ardil's allotment sprung from and where is it?
He did tell Tom last week that isn't it somewhere within the grounds of Grey Gables?
It's just funny how he's like saying my allotment.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. He did tell Tom last week and I think he did give the location and I've totally forgotten where it was. It's very clever. They had drilling noises in the background. So like what we know, there's works going on there.
Oh, I thought it was because there's a dentist as a spa. No, yeah, they did. Yeah, it was. So, yeah, it's October we've got to look forward to, haven't we?
We had the big confrontation between Linda and Adil and Oliver. Where she went, I'm extremely manageable. And I thought one of them should just go, could you manage to fuck off then, please?
Why did they pander to her? Why? I don't like it.
I think it was a bit of horse trading, wasn't it? Because Adil suddenly had that moment and he went, you know. Well, she said, I always do my best and beyond. And Adil went, isn't it impossible to do beyond your best? And she went, oh, facetious. And then there was that moment where he went, you are fearless as a landlady and nothing fazes you. You take me as I come. I think that's an offer they do at the Felpsham Red Light District as well.
And yet she still wouldn't make him a bloody sandwich.
No, she made him a ploughman's panini.
Oh, for God's sake.
Did you miss that?
I didn't miss that, no. But you know, she was off with him when he said, I don't suppose you could rustle me up a sandwich. Well, I don't know. You know, it's not part of what I do.
They don't offer lunch as part of the deal, do they? But he was worried about his stomach rumbling while he was in the meeting.
A long-term resident in your house sort of going, oh, so would it be possible to have a sandwich? You can bill me for it. You wouldn't go, no, you can't have a sandwich, would you? You wouldn't get sniff. Why was she doing that to him? Why? She likes lording it, doesn't she, over folk?
Oh, well, they asked her to manage the opening event. And yes. I think that was kind of a compromise, wasn't it? And in the end, she was like, no. And I think at that point, Adil's like, okay,
thank
for that then.
Who will organise it? I reckon George should.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Going back to the Grey Gables thing, Ian saying to Helen, oh, I've decided, yeah, my accent, I've decided to accept. But he said, I'm accepting the head of food role. And the first thing Helen said, rather than, oh, well done, that's exciting, good luck with that, she went, and you're selecting the cheese suppliers, are you?
Yep.
And then said, I'll drop some samples round to you later. And he's like, I haven't even signed the contract yet.
Well, he said, I'll be letting everyone know. And she went, everyone? Mm. As in other humans and not just me, Ian?
And then went, oh, whatever, yes, horrible. And then he sort of went, would you like to come round for tea? No, I'm busy. Text me if you can have
a coffee.
I like
the way you gave
anything.
Up on the Irish accent halfway through that sentence, Kerry.
But she was already clearly walking off when he was going, coffee, perhaps, text me. And you could hear us shout back, will do, from really far away, like, you know, when they do those tiny voices as if you're down a well or something. She'd buggered off. Awful, awful person.
Yeah, well, that leads us very nicely into where we were about to go anyway. The whole George, Rob, Henry, Helen mess that occurred. Was it the county show?
County show. Really, wasn't it? George bigged up the county show, made it sound like a right laugh, didn't he? Like different tents and animal shit and what have you. But Henry really wanted to go with the Grundys, so... He asked Helen, who had seen George and Henry interact quite nicely with each other, sorting out the veg boxes. Henry's been helping out doing the deliveries. He got some tips, which George has never managed to get. Surprise, surprise. So George has been driving around. They seem to be bonding a bit. Helen just went, yes, you take him to the county show, which I thought, would she have done that? She's in a state of nervousness about Rob lurking about. Would that have been something she'd have said yes to? Don't know. Anyway, she did. She said yes. Off he goes, having had messages and conversations with Rob on the phone. He wasn't even that sure who he was when he first saw him, was he? He was like, oh, I think he's over there, sitting, dressed smartly, sitting down. George, in the meantime, has twigged that this man is the person that he knew Helen had stabbed. He's piecing things together, isn't he, George? Like, oh, shit. Oh, dear. I've just written, oh, and Henry was there when that happened, was he?
Well, he would have been slightly younger than Henry, wouldn't he, when this was happening?
Yeah, but he obviously has heard about it. But he realised, didn't he, oh my God, this isn't a good thing. And George, to his credit, tried to dissuade Henry from meeting Rob and called him to check in, like, what's he doing? Are you okay? Come and look at the ram-a-lam thing. Instead, didn't he? He did try to check in on him. And then Rob menacingly said, who's that? Put them on speaker. Started trying to control him. And George went, Henry can do whatever he wants to do. Stood up for Henry. And I was thinking, oh, hang on a minute. What if George witnesses how terrible Rob is and is cured of his Georgeness because he sees how horrendous Rob is?
I think I said about a month ago that there will be a Rob and George crossover storyline. Yeah. I think I said it'll either go one of two ways. Mm-hmm. He'll either become mm-hmm. like his dark apprentice, or he'll look at him and be like, I don't want to be that person. Because there was that moment that Emma said, like, he lorded it over everyone. He thought everyone was below him and they should lick his boots. And I'm thinking, I think George thinks that about most of the village.
Yes, you're describing your son. Yeah. Oh, God, please, can George just change? I really, really, right from the start of him coming on here, not on here on our podcast, I'd love him to, by the way. Right at the beginning, I just thought, oh, please, can he be okay? Just a fucked up person who actually makes good, rather than, I don't want years of this awful character to listen to, really.
You could say arguably that there are enough psychopaths from the well-to-do families in the village that get away with murder, not literally. So I think if you looked at the way that Justin treats people in business, if you treated the average other person in the street like that, they'd say, that guy's a bit psychotic. He has no empathy.
Yeah.
I think there is a redemption arc there. And maybe this whole thing with Rob helps that. I mean, Rob has got his trigger of his temper, which was the whole reason that Helen heard him in the... I like that he's always having car park rage. Can't find it. Where's the bloody ticket? And she was like, it's always in your car, Rob. You always left it there, remember? And this time he's like, it's a car park, not a racetrack.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, he's a grade A knob above everything else, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. The episode this evening, Friday night's episode, was very good. But I did think the Henry actor was bloody great. I was feeling for him properly. I was like very tense and like, oh, this poor, when Helen was piling on him. Oh my God. Poor, poor boy.
You're a liar just like him.
I mean, God, she has lost the plot, hasn't she? And then at the end, oh, Henry, what have I done? There was only like Kirsty had to sort of go like, don't do that, poor Henry. You know, he doesn't need that. But actually, Rob's acting, Tim Watson, his voice alone, when he turns, it just goes up into that awful cadence of, oh, it's horrific, isn't it?
Is Lee in the air now? I had this vision that that Helen had just catapulted him over the Hassett Hills in this massive contraption. Lee is in the air.
Lee is in the air. I liked it when Helen sort of went, it's a long flight, really knowledgeable about the fact that it takes fucking ages to get from England to America. And also Rob's explanation to Henry about the different parts of America was really making me laugh.
New York is?
Oh, no, it made me laugh. I can't remember it.
High octane.
Okay, yeah, it was just so sort of like big chunks of America were described in sort of two or three words. Yeah. Did you make a note of the others?
I didn't. I remember he said New York was high octane. He said then you go south and they're relaxed or something to the point of horizontal.
Yeah.
Then you said you've got the big Midwest farms and then you go over to California where they're all obsessed with...
Health,
I don't know.
Was it? Or something?
Yeah, he said something like the
he said health and exercise because... Yeah, because Henry said something like, oh, Lee will like it there or something, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. And then he dropped the fucking bomb that Lee's away.
Yes.
He's like, oh, yes, visiting his daughter. And it's like, oh, you've met him. I mean, they got, all of them got played by him.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got a lot of information, hasn't he?
Like, Helen saw him having road rage or car park rage, as it was. And she's like, what are you doing here? And he went, Helen, goodness. Like, oh my, fancy seeing you here where your sons are swimming.
Yeah. But Matthew, the driving thing, again, like, if you've got a brain tumour, you can't drive, can you? So he's either not got a brain tumour or he has got one and he's just flagrantly ignoring medical advice and what the DVLA would allow you to be doing and stuff, which obviously we wouldn't put past him. But what's your view on which one of those it is?
I think they're all actors and he's absolutely fine.
Right, okay, still that one. I like that one, actually. Yeah, it's all a sort of set. Okay, cool. Oh, I liked that Lee's tour of Alcatraz. I was thinking, God, that's going to remind him of life back home with Helen, isn't it?
Lee's going to be like, can I stay here?
Can I have a biscuit? A prisoner's allowed biscuits.
So it's like an inescapable prison, and if you try to escape, your body gets smashed on the rocks or eaten by sharks.
I can't believe prisoners actually had their own wardrobes. I didn't have a wardrobe at home.
Oh my God, edible cheese.
He's, you know, like people are saying, he's not coming back. He's going to stay in America. He's probably going to stay in Alcatraz. He's better in Alcatraz.
I know. Yeah. Okay, speaking of which, we now have another word from our other, for interest of balance, cheese sponsor.
Great. Tid cheese.
Sterling Gold has been made by the Archer family since, I don't know, what is it, like 10, 15 years? I mean, there may have been a break while Helen was in the slammer. Who cares, to be honest? Either way, Sterling Gold is an august cheese. The people's cheese, the people's cheese, the people's cheese, the people's cheese, the people's
cheese. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, Kerry, something we forgot to acknowledge last week. I asked a question 2 weeks ago on the podcast, and thank you to everyone that slid into my DMs and sent me several emails that just said testicles over and over and over and over again. I didn't give it the shout out it deserved last week. I'm giving it now. Okay. Can you remember what that was in relation to, Kerry?
Wow, it was Polly Orchid, who lives in Felpsham, wasn't it?
From Trivial Pursuit, what does a polyorchid have three or more of? And lots of people got back in touch to say testicle.
Yes. And is that the correct answer, Matthew? It'd be funny if it wasn't.
Yeah, sorry, no, that's wrong. No, the correct answer is testicles. Yeah, well done, everyone. Just to give a little shout out to people who've been in touch this week. First of all, two new patrons, Kerry.
Does this mean there's a couple of jingles coming up, Matthew?
There are. And I'll tell you what, it was real backs against the wall this week. So if the quality of jingle has slipped this week, I apologise. I don't think it has that much.
Is it just like their name through a speak and spell or something?
How dare you? Okay, first up, Olive became a patron. This is for you, Olive. Thank you.
Yo, yo. Thank you, Olive, for becoming a Cider Shed patron. Massive respect.
Thanks, Olive.
That horn sound can never fail to amuse. Not diminished in any way, I don't think, from the previous ones.
Next patron, Anita Danks. And God, Anita, I hope that's how you pronounce your surname, because this is the jingle.
Massive shout out. Anita Danks. Anita Danks. You're a new Cider Shed patron. Cider Shed. So we just wanted to say...
thanks, Danks. Thanks, Danks.
Keep coming.
Thanks to our new patrons. I have to say, people who got in touch on Patreon this week, Robin Ben got in touch.
Oh, good. Yeah.
He said, so much enjoyed your Robin Ben jingle. I've always liked having a surname that rhymes with both Glenn and Merry Men, even better than Robin Hood does. Laughing on a rainy afternoon in my own shed. V little not to like. Oh, not without criticism then, Robin. So there might be a few things to not like. Okay, all right.
Please tell us about the little that you don't like, Robin.
I think it's just a turn of phrase. I don't think he actually means it, that.
No. He's unsubscribed now.
Ryan got in touch to ask about setting up the RSS feed for the patrons so people don't have to listen to the patron release through Patreon. And I've done that, and he's told me he tested it and said it was working. So anyone who understands how RSS feeds work, you don't have to listen to the patron episode through the app anymore. So any doubts, get in touch and we'll sort you out. I have been trying to set up the Spotify link as well. That seems a little more complicated and a few more hoops to jump through, but hopefully Patreon will be appearing on Spotify from next week, and you can just go in and access it if you are a patron. Richard Webb got in touch on Patreon to say, fun fact, Jeff Porcaro of Toto died in a gardening accident.
That's fun. Yeah. What was the gardening accident that he died from?
I looked it up.
Yeah.
He was spraying a lot of insecticide and fertilizer and apparently inhaled too much. But there was a second opinion that someone just said, no, he did a load of coke.
It could be the two, I suppose.
Yeah, it could have been a combination of fertilizer and cocaine, couldn't it?
Oh, my God, what a way to go.
We also have an email, hello@thesidershed.com. Benjamin Snowden got in touch.
Oh, God.
Remember him, Kerry? That man you terrified.
I can't wait to hear what he's... right, go ahead. Yeah, what?
Get out of my garden, it says, Kerry. No, it doesn't. It says...
Yes, what are you doing in my garden?
Hello. So sorry I haven't replied to Kerry's mixing up of me and some other Twitterer. I did indeed used to be on the Twitter, but left. Okay. I absolutely adored your Edward Snowden jingle. When you opened last week's podcast, I had to look around and check I wasn't on camera as I felt you were speaking to me live. That's when you made your apology, I think, Kerry. Loving the pod as per usual. Haven't listened to today's yet, but will do in the morning. Intrigued to find out what Ron and George will do at Home Farm. Full on redemption, Benjamin. Why on earth isn't Matthew's fave Fallon not talking to Justin about getting the tea room moved to the EV charging station? He then adds, anyone called EV now has charging station added as a reflex thanks to you, Ben.
Oh, that sounds like he's not that terrified, so I'm very pleased.
This came in very late to the email last week. I saw it as we were wrapping up the podcast. From Ellen Milton. Hi all, sorry for the tardy message, but I really want to say a huge thanks to Matthew for my jingle. It really made me laugh, which is much needed at the moment and much appreciated. I'm not loving the Archers at the moment. Join the club now. Ferrets f*** off, and I don't need to hear any more Pip or Helen or Tom. I need to keep listening to keep up with the Cider Shed musings. I love that Davros Mike has become a regular feature too. Loving your work.
You're welcome, Ellen.
What a lovely message.
On our Instagram, which is at the Cider Shed Pod, Vincent, multiple George theories. He said, George could actually save the day if Shady Rob tries to snatch Henry at the livestock show. That was on Wednesday. Okay. Vincent's a soothsayer. Uh-huh. And then he said, also, this was the interesting point, also was expecting Kira to have a speaking part and wondering if BBC is saving money putting so many child actors on the payroll.
Yeah, well, they are cost-cutting, aren't they? Galore. It'll be funny if, like, one week it's all the kids just chatting in the play park or something and no adults whatsoever.
Final bit of social media. We have a Facebook group called the Cider Shed Podcast. Sophie got in touch to say, I can't believe I've only just discovered your podcast and this group. I've been looking for people to chat about the Archers with for more than 20 years. I've been chuckling through all of your recent episodes for a few days now. Thank you for being the company I've always needed, but until now, never been able to find.
Wow. This is lovely. I'm all warm and fuzzy.
Claire got in touch to say, I've only just discovered The Shed and am absolutely loving it. Thank you all for such an excellent podcast. Oh. It's just ace.
Blimey.
But have you seen Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner, Kerry?
Is that to do with rounders?
Baseball, I think.
Oh, yeah, baseball. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Where he builds the baseball field in his back garden and all the ghosts come back to life, including his father.
Okay. I knew it was to do with rounders.
But he hears a voice in his head one day that says, if you build it, they will come. And he can't get it out of his head. So that's why he starts building it. And I feel the same way about our midweek episode because TR Tot got in touch on Facebook. Said, what happened to our midweek treat? Get us addicted, reliant upon an extra dose of the cider shed, and then snatch it away.
Oh, well, to which yes.
I did reply. I'm pretty sure we said we'd try every fortnight. And I said, barring something seismic happening, and then we'd obviously do an emergency broadcast. And she went, I know, but I'm still allowed to complain.
I don't think we promised anything. It's just going to be as and when we can, hopefully. Let's not even say every fortnight.
I think we said we'd try to do it.
Yeah. We definitely will try. I think next week is looking clearer for me. I had no idea that octopuses were going to be involved in my week this week. I was drained by an octopus. So... sorry about that.
One more thing from our Facebook. Morticia got in touch to say she was listening and she was proper lolling at the Shannon Matthews of ferrets idea.
Oh, that was good. We've got some reviews, Matthew. I don't know if have we got time to go. There's three reviews. I feel like we're. I don't like blowing my own trumpet, and we seem to be blowing a right old trumpet at the moment, don't we? But I don't know. It's just nice that people have written these things. So I will try to get through these next three lovely reviews. And Twitter is at the Cider Shed Pod. So yeah, come along there during the Archers episodes. Hashtag the Archers. Three reviews, Fruity and Sparkling. This is a terrific podcast for those who love and often loathe the Archers. Like a fine perry, the podcast is both fruity and sparkling. The hosts are always witty, friendly and sharp, and I enjoy their humorous observations and well-chosen barbs. As a Patreon supporter, I welcome the ad-free advance edition that arrives in my inbox on a Saturday and the new midweek musings. I must finally mention the top punnage in the programme titles, which always make me laugh. Thank you. And that's all down to you, Matthew.
Who, me?
Your punnage.
These old things?
Yeah.
What a lovely review. Thank you. Who was it by?
Cliff End. Then we have South Londoner by accident has written a must listen. Kerry and Matthew, and then in brackets, and hopefully Peter when he rejoins soon, make me feel sane when confronted by the absurdity of the parallel universe that is the Archers. And they are hilarious. Oh.
Do you feel any pressure that we make people feel sane? I have trouble sleeping with that knowledge, Kerry.
No. I just love people are aligned with our thinking about how bloody ridiculous it all is. Damn you, Cider Shed, and it's by someone in France. I can't see the name. This podcast is so good, so funny that I look forward to it much more than The Archers itself. I listen to The Archers much more so that I can anticipate how it will go down on The Cider Shed. Far, far more than the storyline itself, which in many ways is a blessing. It really helps get through some of the worst Adam moments and every scene involving any of the Archers mafia / clan. But be wary, it's a kind of Archer's methadone. I might have been able to finally rid myself of the Archer's dependence had it not been for this podcast, which cruelly keeps me coming back for more of what I know is very bad for me.
So it's our fault, is it?
Yeah. The good thing about this podcast, it makes me keep listening to the Archers. The bad thing about this podcast, it keeps making me listen to the Archers.
At some point, the scriptwriters of The Archers are going to have to start, like, paying as a retainer for keeping their listenership.
I know, yeah. They should just pay us to write the f***ing thing, to be honest.
When Rob decided to meet in Swindon, I wasn't entirely sure we weren't writing the thing.
Yes. So thank you very much for the effort that's gone into writing those reviews and the messages and stuff. It's bloody heartwarming, it is.
Kerry, bit of breaking news. We had... a lot of new followers on Instagram this week, one of whom has a locked account, and they are XX, and they are described as Scorpio from Swindon.
Stop it.
And I can't see who they are. Also, there is an account that keeps liking our stories, their profile picture is just an ass.
So they porn accounts, basically.
Yeah, there's loads of porn bots in there. I think someone's dropped our name in the wrong place and we keep getting them.
Fantasy football, briefly.
At the top of the table, things can only get better, I presume because they couldn't fit better into the title. They're at number one with 87 points. Chris Charlson in second place. The very well-named 87. Obi-Wan Kenobi Neil. Yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi Neil in second. That's Andrew Marchetti. He was there last week.
Mm.
Taking Knout for Granite by Nat Ogle with 84 points.
Good God.
I'm going to post the tables up after the end of the second game week on our Facebook, and I'll do that on our Twitter as well so people can see where they are, the full table. We might have a look into locking the league, actually, so everyone that's in is now in.
Yeah, because you'll get really good people coming in, won't you?
And it's not fair, is it, on everyone else? So I'll have a word with Liam about that, see if that's doable. I don't know if it is. All right, Kerry, I'm going to head off into that.
Lovely.
Into the night.
We'll have a lovely time in the night.
I went for a wander around my neighbourhood last night. I went up some little side streets that I never went around, and I suddenly caught the smell, this amazing barbecue smell. And I turned the corner, and there was a whole bunch of people just queuing outside this tiny, tiny, tiny little glass-fronted shop. And it was an Angolan chicken barbecue place.
Oh my
and there's
God.
All these people waiting for, like, ribs, chicken, and steaks. And you can't even see what's going on in the shop. It's like a Cure concert. There's so much smoke in there. You can't see anything. And it's tiny. All these people waiting outside. I'm stood there and some guy just turns to me and went, "This is the best barbecue chicken in Porto." And the building directly next door of exactly the same proportion is a funeral director.
Oh, that is just Royston Vasey vibes then, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely going to have to go in there at some point.
Let us know how that goes.
I'll post a photo on our social media.
Okay, well, have a great week and see you in the midweek for you Patreon supporters.
Yeah. Is one of us going to say goodbye?
Well, I said see you next. Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Jane Torville.
Grated cheese.